Our Hebrew scripture this morning is, not surprisingly, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God makes me lie down in green pastures. God leads me beside still waters. God restores my soul. God leads me in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with the disciples, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this passage is about Jesus as the Messiah, the one who is coming through the gate, the one who is coming legitimately that people might follow. And it's talking in some ways about other folks who have come before claiming to be the Messiah, claiming for their own reasons to be the one who was appointed to lead Israel. And that those folks are not the real deal, but that the sheep recognize Jesus as the one who has come. And in the next scripture passage, right after this, it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. I think it's a little tempting maybe to think about this passage as, oh, Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the one way in, and people who go around other ways are not going to make it wherever it might be. Whether folks follow Jesus and are saved and make it to heaven, or folks follow somebody else and are not saved and go elsewhere. That's how it's been interpreted a lot in the past, but I think that interpretation misses the key point of this scripture, which is that what we talked about with our young people this morning, those who follow Jesus know Jesus's voice, and that when we know that voice and we listen to it, then we will have life and have it abundantly. So how do we come to know Jesus's voice? Most of us have not had some sort of vision from heaven or heard clear as a bell the voice of some divine being telling us what to do. What does it look like to listen to that voice? We talked this morning with our young people about what that voice might sound like. And I saw that Meredith left a comment that it would be warm and friendly. And I think that's right. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that in a second. But first I wanna talk about what Jesus's voice is not going to sound like. What the voice of those thieves and bandits might sound like, those people who are for their own gain looking to lead us astray, as it were. I went to my spiritual director last week, which is sort of like going to a therapist for pastors. We're all encouraged to do that, to take good care of ourselves so we can take care of you all. And I was talking about some of the tired old stories that I kept hearing playing in my head over the past few weeks, especially as we have been in quarantine. Maybe you've heard some of those stories too. Maybe yours look sort of like-minded, things like, oh, I'm not doing a good enough job, or I'm not really called to do this. This is a difficult thing to fulfill in this time. I can't possibly teach my kids and work full time and try to be present to a spouse, or I'm not going to be able to be enough for my neighbors, or I am not a good person because I don't have enough time to care for and think about all the people in the world who are suffering. I don't know exactly what some of those tired old stories might be for you. A lot of them stem from something that happened to us when we were younger, or from the way that we were brought up in the world. But whatever those tired old stories might be, those voices that are telling us that life isn't worth living, that we aren't enough, that we couldn't possibly make a difference, those are not the voice of Jesus. And in fact, my spiritual director called them demonic voices. That was a little dramatic. I am not really somebody who is a believer in the concept of Satan as a person or of demons who assail us. But she clarified it by saying, those are the voices that if you engage them, you can't win. You will not win an argument with voices that are trying to tell you that you're not enough, or that you have to hoard what you have so that others won't get it, or that if we follow the voices inviting us to be fearful of others and be in a constant state of anxiety and alert, that we'll be safe. You can't win in an argument with those voices. That's what she meant by demonic. And a light bulb went off for me that, I don't actually have to spend time having a conversation with those voices or trying to convince myself that they're not true. I can simply choose not to listen. So that's what demonic voices sound like. That's what Jesus's voice does not sound like. Those who are trying to lead us astray so that they might profit, those voices that are telling us that we aren't enough, or that we're so laden down with shame and guilt that we could never do anything good. Jesus's voice, by contrast, sounds very different. It sounds warm and friendly, as Meredith said. It sounds like a friend who has known us deeply for many years, who wants the best for us and wants us to be our best in the world at any given moment, who is continually encouraging us to step into love and to abundance and to say yes to the invitation to grow in love and service to God and to others, but who doesn't judge us when we fail, when we fall short, who simply extends a hand and asks us to try again. I was reading some commentaries about this passage, and there's a book about customs as they were 50 or 100 years ago in the Holy Land, and what shepherding might have been like at that time. And one of the things that was included in this description was of a shepherd in Lebanon who was asked if he always counted his sheep each evening as they came into the fold. And he said, no. And so he was asked, well, how then do you know if all your sheep are present? And this is what he said. If you were to put a cloth over my eyes and bring me any sheep and only let me put hands on its face, I could tell in a moment if it was mine or not. That is who Jesus is for us. You can tell in a moment who it is that he has in front of them and knows each of his sheep, knows each of us by name, by heart. And so that is the voice that is calling to us, telling us that we are good enough, that we can do more, that we are able to make a difference in the world, no matter what it looks like out there, no matter how daunting it might seem. This voice helps us to say and do on the outside what we feel on the inside to be deeply, deeply true, and helps us to tune out, especially in these times, the voices that are calling us to separate from others out of fear or to hoard what we have, but instead to reach out in safe ways to connect and to share. So I wonder what it might look like if we were to listen to that voice more regularly, if we were to find quiet moments to not engage the voices of those demons. That reminds me of the, you ever seen those t-shirts or coffee mugs that say, "Not today, Satan," on them? I always thought that those were not really my speed, but I think I might get one sort of ironically to remind me that I don't have to, that none of us have to engage with those voices that are trying to make us live out of fear or out of smallness. Maybe I need a t-shirt too that says, "Yes today, Shepherd," or something like that to remind me and to remind us that we are called to follow that voice of the one who knows us so deeply, who loves us and is carrying us through the darkest valley, who is preparing a table for us even in the presence of this pandemic, and who is anointing us with blessings even in times of trouble, and who is calling us home to be with God at every moment, to be gathered into that sheepfold with one another and with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Which voice will we listen to? Let's make it the Good Shepherd's. Amen. And now go out in the peace of the Good Shepherd, knowing that God has all that you need. God will lead you to exactly what it is that will nourish you this week and give you rest. And as for all those other voices, don't have to listen to them. There's just this one calling you, beloved, calling you to grace and to fullness of abundant life with God. Go in peace.